Today's message is part four of Spiritual Gift Series. We're talking about gifts of healing. All right? Now, if you are thinking of healing, what comes first to your mind? Well, if a guy with a white suit on TV comes into your mind, yes, that's kind of a little bit about gift of healing, but that's not everything about gifts of healing. If you're a Christian, how many of you know you have a spiritual gift? That's what the Bible says. You have a spiritual gift, and one of those spiritual gifts is gifts of healings, okay? Every Christian, everybody in this place who believes in Jesus has a spiritual gift. Obviously, there might be someone, just that one person, who says, I don't have a spiritual gift. God didn't give me a spiritual gift. Well, it's like saying, I don't have a heart. Yeah, everybody here has a heart, but not me. God just wouldn't give me the heart. And usually it's because you have low self-esteem, you don't believe God enough, and you need to believe in Jesus. If you are a Christian, just like you have a heart, you have a spiritual gift, at least one. But you were created for all. Did Jesus have all spiritual gifts? Did he have word of wisdom, word of knowledge? Did he have miracles, gift of miracles? Did he have gifts of healings? Yes, he did. And Bible calls Jesus a second Adam. If first Adam was our granddaddy, great, 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 great granddaddy, Jesus is a second Adam. That means the first Adam had the same abilities that the second Adam had. The second Adam is Jesus. That's Romans, if you want to study that. So guess what? If Jesus had all these abilities and spiritual gifts, and he used them as needed, as situations would come, you know, together, first Adam had the same abilities. And we are his great, great, great grandchildren. And Jesus came to restore us to that place where Adam fell from. So what does that mean? You have such a potential as a human being, as a son and daughter of Adam. You have such a great potential as a son and daughter of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians, let me show it to you, Ephesians 5, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So guess what? The Bible commands us to be like Jesus, who is God. So the reason we talk about spiritual gifts is so we can be like Jesus. The reason, and some people say, well, we can have the theology of Jesus. We can read what Jesus said, but we shouldn't be like him. No. The Bible says, be imitators of God. And Jesus says, whoever seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus is God in a human form. So we have to strive to be like him. And one thing that Jesus did, he healed the sick. He cast out demons. He created miracles. He did everything. But one thing for sure that we know that Jesus, he is a healer. If people come in contact with us, we shouldn't be the people who break people's heart. We should be the ones who are called healers. When I'm with him, with her, she just makes me feel good. When I'm with them, they don't drag me down. They don't pull me down. They make me feel good. And maybe we don't start like that. Well, for sure we don't start like that. We start, taking from everybody what they have, borrowing money we don't return, breaking teeth and lips of other guys and fighting and hurting people. That's how we start. But that's not who we become. Amen? We become more like Jesus. Oh, how I want to be more like Jesus. Hallelujah. So God is not looking. And some of you might say, well, you know, I'm not that religious. I'm not that spiritual for me to have a spiritual gift.
God is not looking for religious or spiritual people. The devil is looking for religious people. Satan is looking for religious people. God is looking for normal people who are sinners, who trust in Jesus, who are saved by grace, who rely upon Him every day of their life, who rely upon on His mercy. Why would we need mercy of God if we never sinned? Mercy is only when we messed up and we don't want to pay for it. And God shows mercy. In the tabernacle, when they created the Ark of Covenant, there was a seat of mercy right in the middle. God is called merciful. And I thought about it. And David says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why would David need mercy? Because he sinned all the time. Why did David need mercy? Because surely goodness and mercy will follow me every day, all the days. Meaning, I will sin every day and I deserve punishment every day. But He's going to follow me with the mercy. It's like driving 100 every day, getting a ticket and going to the courthouse and there's mercy. I'm not giving you any ideas. That doesn't work in the earth, but works with God. Surely goodness and mercy. We wouldn't need mercy if we were perfect. And when I read that scripture and it became real to me, I said, I don't like this scripture. No, seriously. I said, God, what are you saying? I'm going to sin every day? Is that what it's saying? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I don't like this. You know, I tried to think better of myself, you know, that I'm going to get better and maybe not sin one day. And He's like, nope, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, isn't that beautiful? If you're beating yourself up, stop. If you're beating yourself up, stop. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. That's a promise. Not just for David, but for you. And sometimes we just beat ourselves up and it doesn't do any good. It doesn't make us better. Actually, it's the kindness of God that leads us to true repentance. It's the kindness of God. So it's His mercy that makes us change. Not us beating ourselves and Him beating us up make us change. A lot of people think of God as a man upstairs who's standing there with a bolt of lightning. And as soon as you sin, He's going to go strike you down. Disappear. You know? Gone. No, that's not how God wants to be known. And that's not what God says leads us to repentance. That's what religious people say. You need to do this and this and this. No, but that's not it. Now, do we need to do those things? You will, as your heart changes. Yes. But it's not what makes us change. It's the when we mess up and God shows us mercy and we're like, God, I don't deserve this. I deserve to be in jail. Spiritually speaking or even physically speaking. But you saved me. You protected me. You forgave me. And you showed me goodness when I deserved wrath. And God says, that's who I am. Didn't you know? When Moses says, show me who you are. I want to see you. And God says, you can't see me. But I'll go and hide. As you hide in a cliff or a rock, I'll go by you and place my hand and pass by you. And you can see the back of me. And I'll proclaim the name of God before you. And as God goes by, He says, the first name, He says, God is merciful. You want to know who God is? Merciful. That's huge. That's crazy. That's like, I can't even get that. Some of you say, I'm a merciful person. You know how the Bible says, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And he who shows mercy will be shown mercy. But there's two types of mercy. Let me challenge you a little bit here. Now, how many of you are merciful? Let's say you see somebody being abused or raped or beaten or something. How many of you feel this passion? You're like, man, I wish I can punch that guy in a tooth or something and knock it out. How many of you are merciful like that? That's one side of the mercy. When you see the injustice done to somebody, you feel merciful. There's a second side of the mercy. There's mercy. How many of you ever felt mercy for rapists? My wife doesn't. That's for sure. I know that. Oh, she's so much for justice. She's merciful, but only to those who are hurt. But guess what? God is not only merciful to those who are hurt. He's also merciful to the murderers. and rapists. See, it's easy to be merciful. Everybody's merciful for the weak and those who are, you know, hurt and those who are suffering. It's easy. But being merciful to a person who passes AIDS to somebody. I don't know if I'm there yet, Lord. But God is merciful. And if that person repents, and God will show mercy. If that person repents, God can forgive him. But at least God won't send him to hell for eternity. So when you think of healing, it's not a guy in white suit on TV. It's not necessarily that. Healing is just like word of wisdom, word of knowledge is given to the people who are Christian. It's one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now there's more. There's probably 100 gifts of the Spirit. But in this scripture, there's 9 spiritual gifts. It's called charismas. Okay, not just a gift, but charismas, which is a special word only used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, gifts of the Spirit, especially healing, have been abused. How many of you know that? Especially by telepreachers and televangelists, it has been abused. People and TV reporters have done some reporting, and what they've decided, what they saw was, a man says, if you send me money and a letter and tell me what sickness you have, I will pray for the letter, take your money, and you will be healed. Well, they didn't say that way. But what happened is, as their investigative reporters went inside that man's organization, what they would do, they would take the check and throw the envelope away without even praying for it. That gives Christianity a bad name. That just touches me somewhere where, scratches me somewhere where I don't want to be scratched. I hope God has a special place in hell for those type of people. And I think he does. Usually those types of people who said they have the gift, they prey on the older ladies who are shut-ins, you know, and watching on TV. I was watching TV, and I went by a Christian channel, and I stopped a little bit because this guy was begging like worse than a dog. He was begging, we need money, we need money, we need money. And I was like, what do you mean you need money? Doesn't God supply everything for you? Why do you beg like that? Why do you even lower yourself that way? That you need money? What'd you do with the money you had? Or why did you not steward the money that you had? And obviously what I did was I did send him a little check, but I was like, God, I hope that check represents who I never want to be. And he almost makes you give. And it's like, if you don't give, you won't be blessed. And if you don't give, you'll disobey Jesus. I don't think so. There's people like that who just... And older women who are shot in sick, I know this. I know this is the fact. Usually it's older women. They just, their heart melts and they just give. And if somebody doesn't even do what they promise, at least pray for them. I mean, I hope they have that special place in hell. And Jesus said, they will cast out demons in my name. They will heal the sick in my name. But I'll tell them, I do not know you. Go into outer darkness. So it's possible to even do those things and go to hell. I'd rather not do nothing and go to hell, you know. So gift of healings have been really abused in the body of Christ. So I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to say, no, healing is, you know, it's real, it's good. No, there's been a lot of con artists. And the Bible says, test the spirit. You shall know them by their fruit. Okay? Now, but when there is a counterfeit, there's always a real thing. Now, how many people have read this Bible and interpreted it in a whole crazy way? But we don't throw away the Bible because we say, well, it could be interpreted wrong. We don't stop reading it because we say, well, what if I misunderstand it? No. We just search for the truth. And if we have pure heart, Bible says, we will find it. If we're really seeking the truth, we will find it. Okay? So we don't throw away the gifts of healings just because there's been some abuses in the body of Christ. Amen? What is gifts of healing? Notice it's not gift of healing. It's gifts, multiple of healings. Why do you think it's multiple? Different types of sicknesses require different type of gift of healing. And there's multiple sicknesses. It requires multiple gifts, but it's all going into one. Okay? So, gifts of healing. Healings. And this is my working definition. Ability to call on God for healing of His people without any natural means. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that falls upon a person to heal the sickness and remove the pain. Okay? So that's what it is. Gifts of healing. Now, why do we need healing anyway? Don't we have doctors? That's true, we have doctors. But there's sicknesses that doctors cannot cure. All they do is they give you pain medicine, but they don't heal the sickness. And how many of you know there's people drinking like 20 pills a day? Cover one pain, and then the second pain, and then the side effect from that pain, and then side effect from the... And all they do is they dull the pain, but they don't heal many times. Okay? Even Time Magazine actually did an article. If you search that online, they did an article about healing. And what they do is they call it, let me see, what they call it, spontaneous remission. Meaning now doctors are saying, we don't know how, but there was healing. There was this disease or this cancer or whatever it was, or tumor, and it's gone. We don't know how to explain it, but it was there. Now it's not there. Now I want to tell you a true story, and this is a gift of healing working in our lives. His father, he had a stroke in the middle of the 41st Street. And what happened was he called me and he said, the father is in the hospital, come pray. And we go to the hospital room and he's just laying there. How many of you know that after the stroke, usually some body parts are paralyzed and they don't work, like, you know, right side or left side or speech is paralyzed. So we go there and he's just laying out of it. We walk in and he's just non-responsive. We begin to pray for him. And as we begin to pray for him, he starts moving, like being discomfortable. And we're like, okay. So we're like, we need a doctor. So the doctor comes in and he's like, you guys need to go. But as we're leaving, he's trying to get up. He starts vomiting. And so we pray for him and we leave. A couple days later, we hear that he's walking, that he is not paralyzed at all, that he came to his mind is working perfectly. What do you think it was? It's the healer, Jesus Christ. All we did, we came there and prayed for the guy. He could have been paralyzed. He could have been, you know, on the wheelchair. He's walking around right now. He's still alive, healthy, and everything. He doesn't really like me, but as far as religion goes, you know, because he likes to argue. But he did get healed. And he called me later and thanked me and for coming and praying. Now, did I do that? No. Some of you know me as a businessman. And you know, I am a businessman. And some of you know me as a pastor. And it's hard for you to even to think, pastor is a businessman. Because businessman, you have to be a hustler, kind of. Some of you know, Bible calls it, what's that word, the Proverbs called it? Prudent. I call it hustler. You have to be able to be prudent. You know, you have to be like, you know, like looking for deals and you know, trying to get the best price. And some of you know me like that. And you like, and the problem is that you can't see it. Just pastor who prays for healing of the sick and a businessman who's hustling. You're like, how does those two work together? And see, if you need help and healing, Bible says if any of you sick, call upon the pastors of the church or elders of the church, and they'll come and pray for you, and the prayer of faith will give you. And so if you're sick and you know me as a businessman and you need prayer, I can pray. Now, not every time that I pray, people receive healing. Even Jesus, every time he prayed, people didn't receive healing. And he was the Son of God. Do you remember when Jesus came into his own town and people came and listened to him and he tried to heal some of them, but he couldn't, Bible says, because they didn't believe. They were like, who? Jesus, the son of Joseph? Don't they have their little carpenter's business on the side? And now he turned preacher? No. And Jesus couldn't heal people because of their unbelief. So there's a lot of factors, and I'm not saying that every person there is will be healed. Actually, there's another example in the Bible. Paul says he had an eye condition all of his life. He says,
it has been given to me, thorn in the flesh, meaning physical sickness, so I wouldn't boast and be too proud because of multitude of revelation that has been given to me. And he says this, I've prayed to the Lord 3 times. And the Lord says, no, I won't heal you. My grace is sufficient because my work is made perfect in your weakness. He's like, if I heal you, you'll go to hell, Paul. But notice Paul didn't give up on the first time. He didn't give up on the second time. And after the third time, God says, no, Paul, I won't heal you. Paul says, okay, I'll live with it. Why? Because here's Paul healing people left and right, casting out demons and sick himself. Now, Jesus, do you remember that story in John chapter 5? Let me go back there quickly. John chapter 5. Jesus goes into this pool of Bethesda, it's called. And Bible says in verse 3, and in there lay a great multitude of sick, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. So Jesus goes in this place, a place called Healing Pool. And so Jesus goes in there, and there's tons of sick people from all over. And listen to this. For the angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. So there was healing already without Jesus. And then Jesus came, but the angel of the Lord came in there. And he stirred up the water, and whoever would jump in first. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming in, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well and took his bed and walked. And that was the Sabbath day. Now notice, there was multitude, hundreds of people who are sick. Notice Jesus doesn't heal all of them. He goes there to that one man and heals him. So if somebody says I could heal everybody or everybody should be healed, I start kind of, my Holy Spirit antenna, my Holy Spirit discerning of spirit starts rising up. This man must want money or something. Because in the Bible, not everybody was healed. But now, should we desire to be healed? Paul proves it. He prayed 3 times. In my thinking, he should have given up after the first time. God says, no, I won't heal you. He should say, okay, healing is not for today anymore. It's gone. That's it. No, the doctors are saying there's healing. There's through faith. And all they're doing is just proving. Because there's a lot of diseases and sicknesses that are being healed by faith of people. And doctors cannot explain it. Okay? Another story, and this is a true story, that I want to tell you to show you that healing is real. And one time we were here at 3-day fasting. Pastor Iva, who is one of the pastors here in church, comes to the front and says that her daughter has hit her head or something. She went to the doctor because her ears were bleeding. The blood was coming out of her ears. And she went to the doctor and they found some kind of a tumor, a dark spot in her brain. And so she's like, well, since we're fasting, this is perfect timing. And she's like, Alex, would you come and pray? And so I was like, oh, man, okay. So I come out. She's standing right here. I prayed for her, and I prayed such a bad prayer. You know, there's time where you're like praying a good prayer, beautiful, you know, religious. I mean, just like, boom, boom, boom. I came out, and I prayed, and I sat down, and I was like, what an embarrassment. What did I say? I don't know. I'm like, oh, geez. Why couldn't I just pray a beautiful religious church prayer? You know, God, you know, whatever. And so this was the first day of fasting that she came over. And on Friday, we had not 7 o'clock, but 12 o'clock. Friday, it was Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And on Friday, we had a 12 o'clock service here. Just for those who are fasting, to help people out, not to, you know, stop by McDonald's and drive through and things, you know.
I mean, it's so easy to stop fasting. I mean, I've tried so many times, and that you just drive by McDonald's, and just like your wheel turns there itself. Your hand, you can't control your hands. Just like, it's just like, you program, can I have a number one, Big Mac plus? And the Holy Spirit says, you're fasting. I know, Holy Spirit, shut up, yeah. I'm hungry here. And you know you're in that flesh mode, and nobody can stop you. And your accountability partner calls you, Tiny usually calls me, and says, are you fasting? And she's like, come on, baby, you can do it. Just be quiet, I'm going to hang up right now, okay? You know how you're in that, and she does the same thing. When you're in that, okay, my flesh is going to do what my flesh wants to do. And my spirit is just not going to be in control right now. And so, but anyway, it was 12 o'clock service, and Pastor Ivo was not there. And suddenly, from the back of the room, service is going on, somebody's speaking here, she runs in yelling. Everybody's like, huh? What's going on? I remember the musician over here, his name was Brian, and he's like, did somebody give her money? I'm like, okay, great. That's what's on his mind. And so she runs in. She comes to the front. She's like, I got to tell everybody. Michelle, her name is Michelle, and I've talked to her since then. I asked her, I re-asked her to make sure that this story is true. You know, I just didn't want to, you know, say something that wasn't. She went to the doctor. They put her in a tube. They did a brain scan, and they said, and what she said, Pastor Alec, the doctor used the same words that you said. And they said, no tumor was found. There's nothing there. And when I was praying there, I said, the doctors will say, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. And the doctor was like, looking at the other scan and looking at this scan. Look at the other, what happened? And after that, she never had that issue again. Never. Now, I don't want you to think bigger of me than I am. I'm just a regular person. But the gift is given to each believer for the profit of all. So listen, you're looking at me and you're like, wow. But don't do that, because you have a gift. Many of you here have a gift of healing. And how do you know you have a gift of healing? Well, because you're passionate when you see people who are sick. Every time I see a person who says, oh, I'm hurting, I'm like, I wish I could heal you now, but I can't. I just, you know, there's moments when you want to, and you do it. There's moments when Holy Spirit says, nope, not this one. And he's like, ugh, or not the right place. I was given an estimate a few years ago, and there was a man who needed a tree trimmed or removed or something like that. And he brought with him a yellow pad, you know, legal pad, and he was writing to me. And he was such a good-looking guy. I mean, you know, I'm not into guys or anything, but but this guy was good-looking. And when I saw him not being able to speak, and he had such a nice spirit. And I remember that story as I was preparing for my message. I cried. He's had such a good spirit. And I was like, Lord, I wish I could heal him. I wish I could heal him. I mean, I just had such pain in my heart. You who have this gift usually have pain in your heart for healing. Usually when you see sick people, you're like, I can't watch. I just can't. Either I'm going to do something or I'm leaving. There's been funny moments, and I didn't pray for him. I don't know, and I still feel bad. Sometimes I felt like I'm going to go to his house and just knock on the door and say, hey, can you remember me? I'm your tree man. Can I heal you? He had deaf ears. He couldn't. And I started writing to him, what's wrong with you? He says, I can't hear. I have deaf ears. I was born like this. And I was like, Lord, just give me a hook. You know, something so I could pray for him. It just didn't happen. I still feel bad. Still feel bad because I want to see people healed. Not just physically. There was a guy who had a riding wheelchair like you, Brad. And we were working, and he was just driving, you know, on our street. Just in the middle of the road, he would just go back, forth. And I'm like, Lord, is that a sign? So I come to him. He had a cowboy hat. He had a cowboy hat. Yeah, he is asking for it. And so I just stop him in the middle of the road in my dirty clothes. And I'm like, can I pray for you? I prayed for him. He didn't get healed. I just let him go. I mean, I understand that healing is what God does. We don't have the power to heal. But God does, and he heals whoever he wants to. But listen, just like prophecy, we practice and we make mistakes sometimes. So is healing. If you have that special compassion for sick people, you shouldn't be just like, oh, I feel so bad for you. I don't know what you're going through because I've never been there, blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. Jesus never been there, but, you know, he cast out demons. He was never demon-possessed. You don't have to be, you know. A lot of times the people will tell us, well, you had to experience in order to feel people. No, God will give you that supernatural compassion to pray for people. And not everybody here will be those who heal people, who have this gift. I'm sorry, God heals, but we have the gift. But some of you do have it. And you don't need to sit quiet. You need to use your gift as Holy Spirit gives you an opportunity. Amen? Hallelujah. And I could tell you many stories of personal healing that God did for me, for my family. And there's many stories. But I can also tell you many failures when I prayed for people and they died. And if I go deeper, I'll tell you a story how I tried to raise the dead. I did. You know, I either going to believe this word, or I'm going to throw it down. No, I'm serious. I'm like that. If I believe something, I'm passionate about it. If I don't believe it, it's then I shouldn't be in it. I know I'm kind of nuts. Crazy, you know. But I want to believe, I believe this word, and I want to make sure it works. I don't want to just preach it to you, theories. But I want to preach what I practice, what I preach. Okay? Now, why does God give healing? Because He wants to show us that He has power over sickness. He's stronger than sickness. Second reason, why does God want His people to be healed? Is so He can, so that could be a sign to unbelievers. That's a sign to unbelievers. If you don't believe and you are healed from something, you're like, there has to be more than this. Makes you think more. Like, there must be God. And it makes it easier to believe. Now, some of you, if I don't see a healing, I won't believe. Well, God is not going to prove nothing to you. That's God is so confident in who He is, He doesn't have to prove nothing. It's the weak people. I'll prove it to you. People who are confident, like, you don't believe? Okay, I love you anyway. People who are not confident, I'll prove it to you. But God wants to heal His people physically, emotionally, mind, body, and spirit. Amen? Not unless God came to you and said, nope, I won't heal you because you'll get too proud. If He didn't say that to you, you should be seeking healing. If you have sickness, you should be seeking healing. Physically, emotionally, mind, body, spirit, everything. God wants His people to be whole. So a person with a gift of healing cannot heal everybody. And so if somebody says you should be healed, there's many reasons we don't understand. See, we don't heal. It's Jesus, the one who is healing. Hallelujah. Gifts of healing are given to the elders of the church. Now, if you have a sickness, what do you do? And I want to show you in James chapter 5, verse 14. If you go there, James chapter 5, verse 14, says this. Gift of healing is usually given to the pastor or elders of the church. That's just not everybody, but as a pastor, you have to be able to take care of your sheep. Amen? Like if you're a pastor of real sheep, you know, like sheep, animals, if one of them has a big scratch or bit from a wolf, you got to be able to put a Band-Aid over it and make sure that it's not infectious and things like that. And listen to what it says. If any among you is sick, if anyone among you is sick, this is for anybody. Okay? This is for anybody. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, and usually it's not just one person. Like there's an eldership team here in this. Jesse is one of them. Andre is one of them. Pastor Tanya is one of them. There's eldership of this church. That's the people who are mature enough, hopefully. Hopefully we're mature enough to lead the church. And Jesus thought we were because He put us here. So, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. Sometimes God will allow sickness in a person's life. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand here. Because a lot of religious people misunderstand this. Sometimes God will allow sickness to bring a person closer. Remember, disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, who sinned? This crippled young man was sitting there. He's like, who sinned, him or his parents? Jesus says, not him, not his parents, but so that the glory of God may be revealed. So there is sickness when nobody sinned. It's just nobody sinned. God just allowed it for his own glory. I don't understand it. If it was up to me, nobody would be sick. But God is more mature than me. He had millions of years to, I mean, I'm 31 and I'm thinking I'm getting wiser with every year. Right? What if God is a billion years old? Think about it. Just on that basis. I mean, he pretty wise. If he, you know. So anyway, it says here, so if any of you sick, call. Now, a lot of people are sick, but they will never call. They will never call. And see, to call, it takes faith. What kind of faith? Human faith. When a person calls, they're making a step of faith. Because a person who doesn't believe will never call. Now, some of you are complaining to me, I'm sick. But you never say, can you pray for me? And I'm like, I know you're sick. I want to pray for you. But you have to ask. And it's not because we elders are proud. It's not for that. We just want to activate your faith. By asking, you are activating your faith. And when you ask, we see your faith already being activated. We join our faith with your faith. And listen to this. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. That's how it works. It's easy. And I'm not the only one here in church. There's more people you can come up to and say, can you pray for me? And if you have this gift that you have compassion for the sick people, you should, and God will make you known in this church. You don't have to worry. God will make you known. People will come to you and say, can you pray for me? Hallelujah. But it's all so we can be like Jesus. Amen. Gifts of healing is given to people who share their faith. Now, you might not have a gift of healing, but you want people to come to know Jesus. Listen to this, and this is the last scripture, Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. This is a command. This is the last words of Jesus before he is lifted into heaven. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And those signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. This is the words of Jesus. They will take up serpents. Now, that's not that guy who handles a snake in a church, you know, type thing. No. Remember Paul? He accidentally picked up a snake with a pile of brush. And a snake bit him. And people thought, that's it, he's going to die. And Paul just shook it in the fire and was alive. That means you will handle, meaning you will, the serpents, it could be spiritual and physical. There are serpents that come against us, demonic forces. They call serpents as well. The Bible says you will handle them easy. You can handle them easy. Okay? They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So this is a promise. If you share your faith, God says these signs will follow you. So maybe you don't have a gift of healing, you know, as per se. But as you share your faith and people share their needs and you begin to pray for them, God begins to answer supernaturally. See, we're not to seek healings like signs and wonders. We're not to seek miracles. But as we go and preach Jesus, as we share our faith, those signs just supernaturally appear in our life.